Good morning and welcome to the program. We trust that you have your Bible ready. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 17 today, and our scripture reading will start in Luke 17 verses 22 and going down through verse 37. Now, we almost always have a scripture reading to begin with in the text that we're looking at, and then we break down those scriptures and we begin to explain and apply the lessons. And today we want to do the same thing. We want to have the same format, except that today we're going to have a longer scripture reading. We're going to read 22 through 37 of Luke chapter 17. This is a large section, but I believe that it's very important for us to read the whole section before we start explaining. And as a matter of fact, it may be somewhat difficult to understand what Jesus is talking about here unless we see it as a whole to begin with. Sometimes you can begin at a passage of Scripture and you can see what the context is and where it's headed, but here you're going to have to look at the section as a whole, and so let's read the entire section together. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 22. "And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning, that lightnings out of the one part under heaven shines unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, when you go back to this passage and you look at it, the question is this. Is he talking about the second coming? Is he talking about the end of time? Or is he talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70? That's the question that we have to look at here this morning. And I'm going to go straight to verse 31 because I believe that this shows that he's talking here about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. I don't believe that he's talking about the end of time because verse 31 just does not fit in with the end of time. Verse 31 says, in that day. You say, well, what day is he talking about? I thought that he's talking about the day of judgment. Well, in verse 30, he said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Well, what kind of revealing are we talking about, though? What kind of coming or showing of Jesus Christ is he talking about? In verse 31, he said, In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Now, back in those days, the roofs of the houses were flat, and they would use that roof oftentimes like we would a porch or a patio. So they would go up there on the rooftop and they would spend some quiet time. Well, Jesus said in that day, whatever day he's talking about here, he said, when it comes, if you're on the housetop, then don't come down into the house to get your stuff. And if you find yourself in the field, if you're out in the field and that time comes, that day arrives, then don't come back to your house to get your things. Now, folks, that does not fit the end of time. That does not fit the second coming of Jesus. Because at the end of time, it's not going to do you any good to go into your house. That's not going to do anybody any favor at all. You're not going to be able to take anything with you when you leave this world. there wouldn't be any need for Jesus to tell people not to go into their house on the judgment day, because that's not going to happen anyway. But in verse 31, when he said, if you're on the housetop or you're out in the field, don't bother with coming back to get your things, that does fit the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Because what happened was this: those Roman armies encircled the city of Jerusalem, and they pulled back for a while because the general of that army heard that Nero had committed suicide, and so he was called back to Rome. Well, the Roman armies pulled back. That gave the Christians who believed what Jesus is saying here and in other passages, that gave them an open door. That gave them a reprieve so that they could get out of the city. Now, Jesus said when that time comes, when the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by these armies and that open door is there, then he said, get out and don't worry about taking your things with you. When you have that opportunity, you need to get out. Now, I'm simply saying, folks, that verse 31 indicates that he's not talking here about the end of time. And I know that in some ways, if you're thinking, well, it sounds like the judgment day, it sounds like the end of time, I would agree with you. It's very similar to it. He uses some of the same illustrations here. But my point is that that's not the context here. The setting here is not the end of time. It's not the second coming of Christ. It's not the day of judgment, the resurrection day. The setting here, because of what we've just looked at here in verse 31, is the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So one of the things that I need to point out here this morning is that this is different from Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 24 and in Mark chapter 13, what you have is this. Jesus, in the first parts of those chapters, talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, that's where he talks about the wars and the rumors of wars and kingdom rising against kingdom. And then he said, when you see this abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, then he said, get out, flee, go to the mountains. Well, that's what he's talking about right here in Luke chapter 17. But in the last part of Matthew 24, and in the last part of Mark chapter 13, he talks about something that nobody is going to know the day of. Nobody's going to see it coming. Nobody's going to be able to know or to tell you when it's going to occur. And what that is about is the second coming. And so in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. So the question in Matthew chapter 24 was this: when are all these things going to take place? The question in Luke chapter 17 is not when. It's not when are these things going to occur, it is where are they going to occur and what is going to happen. And when he talks in verse 37 about the eagles being gathered together, notice what the question is. In verse 37, they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where is this going to happen? And that's when he said, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Now, he's talking about vultures here. He's talking about those vultures flying overhead, and you've got a dead carcass on the ground. And so when you see those vultures circling around, you know that there's a dead carcass there. Well, the body, or the dead carcass here, is the nation of Israel. Spiritually speaking, they were dead. And I'm not talking so much about this time when Jesus speaks, but I'm talking about less than 40 years after Jesus was saying this, because the nation of Israel began to go downhill, spiritually speaking, even more, because they crucified the Son of God, they turned away from the gospel, and they were persecuting, they were killing Christians, they were trying to put the kingdom of God or the church out of existence. So there was no more that God could do for them. He had blessed them, he had given them every opportunity, and he had given them every advantage over the Gentiles because they also had the scriptures, as well as the Old Testament kingdom and all the miracles and prophets that went with that system. So the whole point is that the Jewish nation, spiritually speaking, at the time when the Romans destroyed it in AD 70, the Jewish leadership was so corrupt spiritually and politically that it was dead. It was like a dead carcass. And so where is all this going to happen? It's going to come down to the city of Jerusalem. That is recorded in history. It is a matter of absolute fact. Josephus, who was a Jewish historian that was there when all this was taking place, wrote about it, and you can read about this event to this very day. It's a big part of New Testament teaching because the Bible refers to it several times, And again, I believe this is what it's talking about here in Luke chapter 17. Now, with that in mind then, let's go back to verse 22 and let's spend just a few minutes today talking about what these verses mean and how they fit into the idea that this is the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, in verse 22, Jesus is now talking to the disciples. You see, in verse 20 and 21, when he was talking about the kingdom, that's a different situation. You see, in verse 20 and 21, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's talking to them about the coming of the kingdom. But in verse 22, he's talking to the disciples, his followers, and he's talking to them about what's going to happen in AD 70. And he says, evidently in verse 22 prior to that, that the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. They're going to miss him. They're going to wish that he were there. And why would they long for him in the days to come? After the church has been established and after the gospel begins to spread and the church begins to grow, why are they really going to miss Jesus then? Because of all the persecution that they would endure and because of the national turmoil that was going to occur in those days. Things were bad and there was a lot of anxiety, there was a lot of fear in the air, and these disciples were going to be caught in the very midst of it. Jesus then said in verse 23, "And they shall say to you, see here or see there, do not go after them nor follow them." Now, what is that about? Who are they? He says, don't go with them, don't follow them. Who are they and what or whom are they trying to lead the disciples to? Evidently, this goes back to what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 24, when there would be people who would say that they were the Messiah or they knew where the Messiah was. Matthew chapter 24, if you will read verses 4 and 5 and verses 23 and 24, you will find that Jesus warns the disciples not to go after, not to believe these people who say, well, the Messiah is here and the Messiah is there. He said, that's not true. Don't pay any attention to them. Many would believe it because of the growing tension and because of the desperation of the Jews. There would be many people who would say, well, I want to know more about that. I want to find where the Messiah is because maybe he can help us. The Romans are coming. There's going to be war. And if we can find the Messiah, he will help us out. Well, the Messiah had already come. The Messiah had already died for their sins. And the Messiah had already ascended back up into heaven. So he said, don't listen to them and don't go with them. The reason in verse 24 is because he said it's going to be like lightning in heaven. Lightning lights up the whole sky. You can see it from one horizon all the way to the other. And so what Jesus is saying here in verse 24 is that is an illustration of what it's going to be like when this time comes. You're going to know it. You're going to see it. There's going to be absolutely no mistake about the fact that this is the time that he's warning about. So we'll look at this passage some more tomorrow. I want to encourage you to read it between now and then. And Lord willing, tomorrow morning at this same time, we'll come back and talk more about Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 37. Thank you for tuning in. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.